Folks, hello. On this week, we're continuing the conversation with John Mercer, an IT guru who I am lucky to work with. Chris had to bow out for today. And John, I wanted to pick up on the conversation we had in the other week's segments when we talked about the learning, how the impact of IT and technology in the learning in the classroom. But I wanted to zoom out a little bit and with you address some of the bigger questions. It's questions that pertain more to you than to me, more to you as a CIO than to me as an instructional person. Would you mind sharing, please, how do you plan, purchase, and deploy technology that A, keeps us up to date, but also B, keeps us and our data safe and secure?
Sure. You know, it's a good topic. And it's a challenging one, I'd say, especially kind of from a funding perspective, because as you can imagine, I mean, there's technology at a lot of layers in that cake. You know, from things that folks touch and see in the classroom to hardware and software behind the scenes that make everything run, right? And that you you notice one thing stop working, right? Then that's when we get upset and frustrated. So from an AV perspective, that's been a particular challenge now, or is going to be a challenge, I should say, for folks going forward as we, you know, many of us had received an infusion of funds from COVID that really enabled and empowered a lot of valuable learning modalities and experiences. But in a handful of years here, when some of that gear needs to be refreshed, you know, we're going to have a financial challenge and funds that likely won't be there that were there to procure it. So that's something that nationwide and certainly us within the North Dakota University system are looking into. How are we going to address that problem when it gets to us? Because budgetarily, right, our standard CapEx and OpEx aren't prepared for that. And when you speak to as far as security of the data, we're fortunate to have a very strong partnership and skilled team within the central IT aspect of the university system. And then with the state of North Dakota from a networking perspective. And so, you know, we as a small team don't have the resources to do all of the things that they help us with. So it really becomes a family that's part of delivering that overall experience. And when you start talking data security, I guess, did you want to chat data security now or go into that?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, colleges are not immune. I remember a couple of years ago when I was working in Illinois, there was an entire college that was hijacked and its information was ransomed. Yep. Right. And I know of others, it's been making headlines of the Chronicle and EduCause as well.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's a constant threat. And so that's where, I mean, we're very fortunate to have a security team and a SOC team with the central IT entity that we partner with that really gets to, you know, be kind of experts in all of the aspects that relate to, you know, helping us provide a secure environment. So, and there's, you know, one could go on for hours on a lot of these different layers of that security cake, but you're starting from, you know, securing the endpoint on the higher ed kind of corporate owned devices. There's technologies at play there. We have software to monitor basically everything that's on the network and try and detect what weaknesses and vulnerabilities are there so that then we can have reporting to know, you know, what vulnerabilities and risks are out there, along with some kind of triaging and prioritizing of risk to know, hey, you know, okay, maybe you have 100 things, right, that need to be addressed, but these are the top 10 that you need to focus on based upon highest risk out there. You get into where your data is living, whether it's in on-prem systems or SaaS-based systems. There's all sorts of, you know, security controls that you try and put into making sure that the data is safe. So the process of getting to that data, depending upon the type of data it is or classification, whether someone needs to pass an additional security verification, like a two-factor type of a test, like you might use when accessing your bank account in order to get to that more secure data. Is that, you know, a hurdle that you need to pass? If you're working with SaaS providers, right, cloud providers, then there are certain kind of questionnaires and tests and such that you will have them validate and basically demonstrate that they store and handle your data in, you know, a proper method. You know, so it's not just Bob's website or whatever, right, that is hosting your data, but they have the appropriate certifications, and your shakedown and pat down of them, so to speak, right, demonstrates that they're going to be a good partner. And another part of it's, I guess, a category they call security awareness, which is then also doing the training of end users, right? Because the majority of breaches end up starting with a person doing something that they shouldn't have. And the most of the time, it isn't a malicious, right, step. It's an accidental step, because the bad actors out there are so effective at, you know, at tricking us into doing something that we shouldn't be doing. So there's an aspect of educating and making aware, right, your user base on these different threats and trying to guide them on, oh, hey, you know, things that they shouldn't click on and actions that they should not take in order to help keep the environment safe.
Keep us safe.
Overwhelming majority of the time, when something bad has happened, it's started by, you know, a human was involved. It wasn't necessarily a technology vulnerability that was exploited, even though those are threats we're always having to monitor for and address as well.
Sure. I'd like to get back to this particular topic of authentication and things like that, but let's leave it to the next segment. But can you talk to me about, the older a piece of equipment, the more naturally it's going to be vulnerable, right? But also, you know, batteries have a life, the monitors have a number of cycles and so on. So how do you plan so we don't get old equipment before you change it, knowing that, of course, sometimes you're going to buy a lemon. You know, company X makes 10 million pieces of this, you're bound to have certain percentage of them fail sooner,
yep,
but the average is X number of years. So talk me into it. I understand there are financial realities, but talk me from a planning, because, you know, for me, an instruction is, God damn it, John, where's my laptop?
right, exactly. Or it's too slow, or the battery life isn't lasting long enough. Yeah. Yep. So right. I think, yeah, so I guess if I'm hearing you right, I see kind of two buckets. One of them is the, how do you plan to make sure that the stuff you have is still going to be safe? And then the other is the, either keeping things just in general up to date or addressing for failures. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. So first bucket, as far as planning to make sure your stuff is up to date, 100% right. That, you know, traditionally, right, it's almost like a technology fitness program, right, where you have to keep your gear up to date, because the vendor who is supporting that is generally going to only support it for X amount of time, right, and then they're going to determine that it's no longer feasible for them to continue to support everything forever. And so so you just have to kind of be aware of what those product support life cycles are, and then ideally bake them into your overall technology, you know, kind of refresh plan, whether that's at an end user device level, PCs, laptops, et cetera, whether that's networking gear, security products, et cetera. Most of the software world, for business products for software products that businesses rely on, almost everything is kind of transitioned to a subscription process. And so you're shelling out money every year, and then they're gonna have the responsibility of making sure that their stuff is safe. So your customer side responsibility is just to make sure you're running the appropriate version, taking the updates, et cetera, et cetera. But from a hardware perspective, right, that's the more capital intensive, so to speak, aspect of things. And so, I think a lot of folks at least ideally try to have a master picture and awareness of what your fleet, right, of hardware is that's out there, and then have your 5+ year plan so that the institution can at least have some sort of predictability on what those expenses are going to be. As you alluded to, a lot of times, you know, that bottom line dollar amount that it's going to take to accomplish said plan versus the funds that you have available, though those numbers don't always equal, and technically or often they're not in your favor, right? So then you got to be creative and looking for other funding avenues. But you at least got to start with, right, an awareness of what your burden of expense is going to be, and start with a plan, and then you adjust accordingly. On the second part, I think we were talking about availability. That's handled in a number of different ways, from the more end user device-y piece. You know, I think a lot of folks just tend to solve that by having X amount of spares on hand. As you move up the technology stack, then you're just trying to build in as much redundancy as possible from a networking perspective. You know, having specific examples can be having multiple paths to the internet, but in a perfect world, you try and have an A and a B path all the way up the stack. So from the network closet in the building to the core of your network to the next hop where it's leaving your campus and on through the state to wherever it eventually dumps onto the internet. You just try and have as much physical network path redundancy, as well as power redundancy, battery backups, generator power, all of that fun stuff that lives behind the scenes that nobody loves until it doesn't work. So,
well, actually, we're gonna love talking about it in our next segment. Excellent segue, because I'd like us to address it. People in the classroom, like myself, don't necessarily know how things work, how the cake is baked on your end, and I'd like you to divulge that for us. Folks, this is John Mercer, CIO at a rural college in North Dakota. John, thank you. We'll catch up on the other end with a new segment with you here. This is Let's Talk Ed. Ring that bell, like, share, and find us wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.
Thanks, Ahi.